for your presence again this evening as we worship the Lord together. We are still at the beginning of the year, many new things going on with this new year, and our children are starting back to school and maybe in different ways, continuing what they did in the spring, so that's a challenge, and still a lot of things going on now that were going on last year. So we hopefully will learn lessons from 2020, make 2021 better for us as individuals, us as communities, the church, the nation, whatever the case may be. And we know we'll be that. We will have that improvement with the help of the Lord. And we always need to encourage one another in our walk with the Lord to make sure that we're faithful in all things. Let's go to our Father for a word of prayer. Father, we're blessed in this life because you've given us every good and perfect gift. We know that our minds are limited. Our ability to understand things that are spiritual, that are eternal, are limited because we live in a finite world. We live in a world where things begin and they end. We know that you have always existed. We know that you made the world and all things in it. We know that you are present with us. And even though we affirm those things and believe those things, at times we may feel like that you are absent or that you are not as big as you really are. Help us to increase our faith. Help us to understand what you revealed to us in Scripture, that your love never ends for us. That no matter how challenging this life is, that you still are here for us, and that we are simply living in a world that is a world of sin and death, a world that where Satan is active and tempting us each day. And we simply need to put on that full armor that you've given to us of righteousness, of your word, all the things that your Bible teaches us that we use to prevent us from falling into those traps that Satan puts in front of us. Help us to learn lessons from the previous year that we've just experienced. And if be your will, there be an entire 2021. Help us to be more faithful at the end of this year than we are today. Bless us as we continue in the study of your word and help us to be more like Christ each day. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Amen. This morning we talked about why is it that we all use the same Bible but don't end up with the same conclusions. We don't apply Scripture the same way. We don't think of Scripture the same way. We don't teach it the same way. And I mean, as it relates to Christians around the world, Christians in this country, Christians even in this town. And we looked at several reasons for why people misunderstand the Bible. Some has to do with just ignorance of Scripture itself. Some has to do, we said the most important way that people misunderstand the Bible is they view it through their own experience. And we said it, the end of the lesson that, you know, there's almost 8 billion people on earth, and God did not give us 8 billion Bibles and tell us to fill in the blanks. It was a Bible that just had a lot of blanks and it said love, and you just sort of fill it in based on your experience with that. And it said worship, and you just fill in how you feel that should be, and fellowship, and all the things the Bible talks about. 8 billion people get to do it their own way. Well, that's not, of course, what the Bible is. We always will misinterpret Scripture, misunderstand Scripture when we take our individual experiences and try to mold Scripture into our likeness. Well, along those same lines and thinking about those types of things and the differences that we have with other people who profess Christianity is We almost have to back up and ask the question from time to time, and I know we've asked this in the past, but it's good to think about again and really consider the implications of it. It's the simple question of, who is a Christian? Who is a Christian? You can stop traffic out here on Highway 49 and pull people over and ask individuals as they drive by, are you a Christian? And we know that most likely the overwhelming majority of the cars you stop, that person's going to say, yes, I'm a Christian. Well, then the next question would be, how did you become a Christian? How did you go from not being a Christian to being a Christian? And that's where you're going to hear all types of different answers. So just like this morning, why is it we all use the same Bible and come to different conclusions? Well, why is it that you have so many people say they're a Christian, but they say they became Christians in very different ways? So I want us to think about those things tonight just for a few minutes. First of all, matter of trivia maybe, but it does help us understand the idea of being a Christian is when we consider the three times in the New Testament where the word Christian is used. Christian is in the Bible. It's not in there often. Most of the time you have the word disciple, a follower of Christ. But we know once the church was established, not too many years went by, people started to be called disciples of Christ, Christians, Christians. And we'll talk about that suffix Christ a little bit later. Acts chapter 11, verse 26 is the first mention of Christian, where it says the disciples in Antioch were the ones who were first called Christians. We go a little bit farther in the book of Acts, so we get to Acts chapter 26 with Paul preaching to King Agrippa about self-control and righteousness and judgment to come. Agrippa says, you almost persuaded me. He said, go away and I'll call for you a different time. You almost persuaded me to become a Christian. And then finally in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 16, beginning actually verse 15, Peter writes, says, make sure that none of you suffers as a murderer or thief or evildoer or troublesome meddler. But if anyone suffers as a Christian, he is not to be ashamed, but is to glorify God in this name. Some say that the word Christian was actually a put-down, an insult, when it started to be used for the first time. That non-believers came up with that term. And it was, you know, there goes one of those Christians. And that's why Peter wrote this. He said, don't be ashamed of that. If somebody calls you that, don't bow your head and go the other way and explain away and be embarrassed by that. Don't be ashamed to be called a Christian. That's not an insult. But glorify God in that name. Others say that that really was not how that word originated. It actually was prophecy that Jeremiah said that one day God's people will be called by a different name than they were in his day. And they say, well, that new name that they were going to be called was Christian. Regardless of its origins, we know that we call people today to obey the gospel Christians. And we know that's the term that is used world over to describe those who are followers of Jesus Christ. So who is a Christian? Let's start very broadly and think of some categories that we could look at to say, well, is this group a Christian? Is this group? And we'll narrow things down as we go. So let's just think about a few different possibilities of somebody who, if you're in this group, you're automatically a Christian, is how we'll look at each one of these. If you qualify to be in one of these groups, does that mean you are automatically Christian? First of all, and you'll say this is probably the silliest one, but some believe it's just simply being an American. If you're an American, does that mean you're a Christian? And at first you hear that and say, well, what would American citizenship have to do with being a Christian? Well, it's only an issue if you start thinking about the phrase many people use in talking about America, that is a Christian nation. And that's why you get this idea where people say, well, I live in America, and sort of, if you're nothing else, you're a Christian, unless you profess to be Muslim, or you are Jewish, or something along those lines. But if you don't identify as with any of those groups, then you're just by default, since you live in America, we'll just put the label Christian on you. Well, we come up with that notion, of course, and thinking about that, we look at the founders of the country, and we say, well, you know, many were Christians, or at least believers in God. But we also know that they put in the Constitution that the government is not going to establish a religion. That never before and until this nation stands are we going to have a law that says this country must abide by this religion. They made very clear that we weren't going to do that. But they've also made it clear that you're free to worship as you please. We also come to this idea when you read the Old Testament and you see nation regarding God's people being Israel, the nation. And then we start talking about reading passages about God's punishment or judgment upon that nation. And we start seeing that word nation and national. And you think, okay, well then let's equate ancient Israel with current America. That's a nation, we're a nation. We're a majority Christian nation of Christians in this country, so what the Bible says about God's people being a nation, America is a nation of God's people, so on and so forth, something along those lines. But we know that God's people were Israel specifically, but we know the Bible teaches now, the New Testament, that the nation of God's people is not about geography. It's not about a certain place. We've been a country for about 10 minutes compared to most of the nations on this earth. And there were Christians long before there was the United States of America. America is, of course, a melting pot, as it's always been described. People come to America from all over the world, and they came with their religions that they believed and practiced. We know there are today Christians all over the world that have never visited the United States of America. And actually, the idea of a church building and some of the things we're so accustomed to in America when it comes to when we worship, they've never experienced. They would have no concept of. Yet still Christians. So maybe that's the easiest one we can dismiss. You're not automatically a Christian just because you live in the United States of America. Here's one though, let's narrow it down a little bit. The second category, that a lot of people say, well, if you're this, you're automatically a Christian, is if you have high morality. First category is American, we can rule that one out. What about just high morality, a high moral code that you live by? A lot of people believe that. I'm a Christian because I'm a good neighbor, I obey the law, I give to charities. When the tornado comes through, I go down there with the chainsaw, the pickup truck, and I help out. And I discipline my children, try to train them correctly so they'll stay out of trouble and be good citizens and all those types of things. There's a man named Bertrand Russell through the mid-20th century who was an agnostic. And an agnostic is different from an atheist. An atheist says, there is no God. An agnostic says, I don't know if there is or not. I'm not claiming there's no God. I'm not claiming there is a God. That's an agnostic. Well, Bertrand Russell was an agnostic. And as to the question, can an agnostic be a Christian? And pretty lengthy answer he gave, but he summarized it by saying, well, if you mean love your neighbor, if you mean that you're sympathetic to those in need, if you want freedom for people who are enslaved, and he listed several other things like that, and he said, then yes, you can call me a Christian. Which is interesting because after giving that answer years later, he had a famous pamphlet he put out called Why I Am Not a Christian. I don't know if he's telling on his own morality there or just kind of giving contradictory answers. But there are many people who believe his answer, live by his first answer, saying, I'm a good person. I've never done anything church-wise. I've never done anything related to a biblical command to become a Christian, but I'm a good person. I live by a high moral standard, and so by default, automatically, that makes me a Christian. After all, Jesus was the highest moral standard. And I believed in the sermons that he preached and the moral code that he taught. That's what I go by. Well, we can rule that one out if for no other reason Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do the will of my Father will enter. And we know that no one can, by their good works, earn their salvation. You can be as moral as you want to be. You can strive every day to live a perfectly moral life, and you will still have a sin problem that is not resolved. It does not account for the sins you've committed, and that problem is still there. So, being an American doesn't make you a Christian automatically. Being a moralist, having a high moral code, does not automatically make you a Christian. What about a theist? T-H-E-I-S-T, a theist. That's just somebody who says, I believe in God. I believe there is a God, and even that I believe God made the universe. I believe in God, so that makes me a Christian. A lot of our founding fathers, by the way, were theists, or even described as deists. A deist is somebody who says God made the world, but he doesn't involve himself in the world. He steps back, he makes everything, and it's like a clock that you wind up, and the world is just winding down. Theist and deist, not too far apart in that idea. And many people say, you know, I believe in God, but that's the end of it. I don't really have any intention of following Jesus' code of morality. I believe in God, but I sort of live by my own morality. Well, that's not going to work either, because Luke 10:16 says, he who rejects me, he who rejects Jesus, rejects him who sent me. And Jesus said, that's not going to work. To say I believe in God, but I don't believe in Jesus, means that you really don't believe in God. It really means you don't love God. And of course, Jesus famously said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father but through me. You can't have one without the other. So, an American by default is not a Christian. A moralist is not necessarily a Christian. Somebody who says, I just believe in God. Well, again, that doesn't make somebody a Christian. What about those who have faith? Let's narrow it down a little bit closer. And they do have a faith in Jesus, a belief in him. They believe in God and they believe in Jesus. Is that somebody who is a Christian? That is a person that if you give them a form and it says religion, they check the Christian box. And they say, I believe that I reject evolution. I believe that God is the creator of the universe. I believe that in John 3:16, that God gave his son to die for the world. Is that alone what makes somebody a Christian? Most of the world says yes. That faith is all one needs, a belief in Jesus. Having that faith is all one needs to be saved, to be called a Christian. John chapter 8, verse 30, there it says there that many believed in Jesus. That's faith. They had a faith. 14 verses later, Jesus said, you are of your father, the devil. Jesus said, well, you might believe in me, but You're not demonstrating faith. You're talking about a belief in me as a person, what I've done and what I'm doing, but your life doesn't demonstrate that. Your life actually is more in line with the devil. And in John chapter 12, notice the same thing. Just a few chapters later, verses 42 and 43 in John chapter 12. Nevertheless, many even of the rulers believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they were not confessing him for fear that they would be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the approval of men rather than the approval of God. But Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, unless you confess my name before men, I will confess your name before the Father in heaven. If you do not confess my name before men, I will not confess your name before the Father in heaven. So these people, it says they believed in Jesus, but they didn't confess him because their buddies wouldn't like it, because they get kicked out of the synagogue, because socially it wasn't acceptable. Well, that's not a Christian. So there are many who believe in God and even say they believe in Jesus, but are in no way living by faith. And as we said earlier, Jesus said, not everybody who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Remember, as a side note, remember Saul on the road to Damascus, and hears the words of, hears the voice of the Lord, and says, Lord, called Jesus Lord. You can stop the story right there and say, was Paul, later called Paul, a Christian? Was he a Christian in that moment? He called Jesus Lord? No. Because Jesus didn't say so. Jesus said, you need to go on into Damascus. Stay on the same street that you're on. Go ahead and go into Damascus. You're going to meet somebody there who's going to baptize you. Saul simply calling Jesus Lord was not enough to be considered a Christian. Not an American necessarily, not a moralist necessarily, not a theist necessarily, not somebody who just has faith. Number five, it's not necessarily a church member. What do I mean by church member? Well, when I was working at Madison Church of Christ, I was in college doing an internship. Obviously, a church with several thousand people, and it's often hard to keep up with everybody, of course. You had a church staff that was doing a lot of that. When things would go on, you have big events, you try to organize, and they had everybody separated by zones. And so you had zone leaders, zip codes. That's how they sort of broke down the numbers. And you contact the zone leader, and they'll do some things, and it was just constantly trying to keep up with everybody. It was very difficult. When it became really easy to keep up with everybody is when you had directory pictures. It was almost like sending out the, you know, Batman appears when the light goes up. Well, church directory pictures, here they come. And, you know, we sort of laughed about it. One way it was funny, but another way it was kind of disappointing. It was what we're... many of those people saying is, you know, this, I'm in the book, the church directory. My picture's in there. I'm a member there. But beyond that, I really don't have much of a faith. Beyond that, I really am not a part of that congregation in any meaningful way. I don't have any association, but I want to be able to say, pull the book off the shelf and show somebody, look, I'm a member of this congregation. That's what I mean by somebody saying, well, I'm a member here at this church and that congregation. That doesn't necessarily make one a Christian. Somebody could sit in this church building every Sunday morning and every Sunday night and every Wednesday night till the day they die. That doesn't make them a Christian. That means their body happened to be in a certain place at a certain time and they were sitting around a bunch of Christians, sitting with them. And it means no more than that. So, being an American doesn't necessarily mean you're a Christian. Having a high moral code doesn't necessarily mean that. Believing in God doesn't necessarily mean you're a Christian. Having faith in Jesus doesn't necessarily mean you're a Christian. And just because your name's on the roll in a certain congregation, that doesn't necessarily mean you're a Christian. And the last one, you say, okay, now this one is it. Okay, fine. We're down to the point here as we're narrowing down the subject. The last category, that has to be the one, and it is baptized people. Not so fast. Not quite. Why is that? Well, you ask the people driving down Highway 49, are you a Christian? They say, yes. How did you become a Christian? They say, I was baptized. You say, good. How did that happen? They say, well, when I was an infant, I was sprinkled. Well, when I was a certain age, somebody poured some water on my head. Or when I was an older person, I was sprinkled. Or something along those lines. You know, it's very interesting. In Acts chapter 19, we're confronted with a group of people who had been baptized, but they weren't Christians. Why? Because they encountered some people that had been baptized under the command or under the idea or the preaching of John the Baptist. And this was long after the Great Commission went into effect. And you can see why that would happen. Didn't know the Great Commission preaching, the being baptized for the forgiveness of sins, to be added to the Lord's church. All they knew was the preparing of the way of the Lord baptism, the baptism of John, getting those ready for the coming of the Lord. That's all they knew. And when confronted with that information, what happened? They were baptized. So we could even say there are many baptized people who are not Christians. So we're left with, really, and it's a simple passage, and it's one that you know, and it's almost too easy to talk about in a church assembly, is the Great Commission, which really is the key. When Jesus essentially says the world is lost, all authority under heaven and earth has been given unto me. Now go therefore, make disciples of all the nations. He wouldn't say that if all the world was saved. If all the world could be saved without the gospel, he would just say, leave them alone. Don't teach. Ignorance is bliss. Don't say a word about me to anybody, and we all go to heaven. No, he said the world is lost. And he said, go make disciples of all the nations. How do you do that? How do you make a disciple of Jesus? You can stop it right there and say, how do you make a disciple? How do you make a follower of Jesus who are later known as Christians? Did he say, I hope they live long enough to hear about a place called America. And then they could live there and just be a Christian by default. He said, make a disciple by teaching them all the moral things that I talk about and make sure they live that way perfectly so they'll all go to heaven. Make sure they understand about God the Father. Make sure they just believe that I've existed and said a lot of good things and did good things. Make sure one day they associate with a group of Christians somewhere, as long as they're in the list of the people who are Christians in that community, then that's all that it takes. No. Go make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. How do you make a disciple? It was later called a Christian. You baptize them, you teach them. Jesus said that's what you have to go do for them to be saved. And we need to focus on that. I said earlier we were talking, mentioned the suffix I-A-N, Christian. The Greek where that word, where we find Christian, it's translated in English as Christian. That suffix in Greek means belonging to. belonging to Christ as a Christian. When somebody is living their life in opposition to Christ and what he taught, what he commanded, they cannot be called a Christian. When somebody has not obeyed the gospel the way the Bible teaches one to obey the gospel, they cannot be called a Christian. They may call themselves a Christian, but they'll not be regarded that way in heaven. When someone belongs to any organization on this earth, belongs to any group, they live by the rules of the group, they associate with members of the group, they support the group, they advocate for the group. In sports, when somebody gets traded to another team, they're not part of this group over here anymore. They're trying to beat this team. They're living by a different playbook. They have different coaches. They're heading in a different direction. It's amazing to me how many people say, "I belong to Christ. I am a Christian." And yet what they believe and what they do and how they talk is completely contrary to what the Bible teaches for a Christian. And they say, "Yeah, but I'm still on that team." Remember back with 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 16. If anyone suffers as a Christian, he's not to be ashamed, but is to glorify God in this name. We need to challenge one another to glorify God in our lives as we call ourselves Christians. Not to be ashamed of that name, but to simply give God glory in it. Are you a Christian? You may have been thinking about some of these other categories before tonight, and maybe now you see things a little bit clearer about what the Bible says a Christian is. You need to be baptized into Christ, become a disciple of Christ, continue that walk with Him, live in a way that glorifies God, not in perfection, for we're saved by the grace of God, but simply living by faith. Need to begin that walk, we'd love to baptize you this evening. If you need prayers for your walk, for your faith, to increase it, to strengthen it, we'd love to pray with you tonight if that's what you need. Whatever it is, please come while we stand and sing.